Hello and welcome to The Cynic Weekly. I'm your host as ever, Louis McCaffrey, and this week I am joined by a very handsome, energetic panel for the first post-season weekly episode. I don't know how many there's going to be. Hopefully there'll be another one when we actually get some news about what's happening for next season. But we're back again this week. Firstly, I'm joined, as always, by my favourite man of Italian descent. I'm nothing but respectful to his heritage. It's Christopher Samani. How are you?
Thank you, Louis. That was heartfelt and warm, and it set us off on a cracking tone for the rest of this podcast. Small correction, though. I am of the belief that until the Scottish Cup final is completed, the season isn't over. Ergo, this isn't a post-season weekly. But, you know, off to a good start.
That's staunch for you, to be fair. Even though we're no fucking in it, but anyway. Moving swiftly on, we're also joined by the most intelligent member of the analysis group of cynics, and everybody's kind of top three cynics anyway. It's Alan Edgar. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate. I think our first post-season podcast is probably back in January, maybe February, but technically I suppose this is the season now done, so thanks very much for having me on. A new dawn starts, so a wee bit more energy tonight than I've had in previous weeks, that's for sure.
Aye, there's listen, we're never going to see fucking John Joe Kenny again, the Celtic top, so there's reasons to be cheerful, but we'll come to that. And we're also joined by the most handsome man that I've ever seen. It's Eddie Walsh. How are you, Eddie?
Doing really well, Louis. Good to be back, and yeah, there's a little bit of little spark of hopefulness in this one here. So anxious to get started.
Yep. So we're gonna jump right in. We've got a question. We've got an opening question this week. So the question is, what should the Celtic support expect from the club to make up for this season? Season ticket refund, apology. Obviously, there's a lot of debate about the season ticket prices for next year, whether there's going to be any kind of, you know, mention or nod to the added value that some believe they didn't get, or whether we maybe saw it and missed it, I don't know. But Samani, we'll come to you first. What do you want as a season ticket holder, but also just as a fan after the shambles of this season?
I'd only really thought about the pricing of the season ticket for the season coming, to be perfectly honest, because I think last season we kind of knew we wouldn't. I didn't think we'd set foot in the stadium, but we certainly knew that we wouldn't be in right away. But this season, you're a bit more savvy, and you've just had to put up with that absolute pish for the entire footballing season. So you're looking for there to be an incentive, whether that be a cheaper season ticket or whatever, you know. Couple of £100 is some of the figures we've been pandying about in some of the chats. Make it more valuable. That'll serve to do two things. One, it'll make more people renew. And two, it's almost a kind of act of contrition for what's gone on in the season previously. Now, in saying that, I would need a manager of the caliber of Eddie Howe as well. I would want that. I would want them to say, look, here's what we've done. Here's the recruitment we're doing. This is the manager we've got. We know last season didn't go well. We know you didn't get into the ground. So this season tickets are X, Y, and Z. They might do it that, say it's £200. They might say, here's a refund of £100 for last season. And then there's £100 off this season ticket. Something like that. I don't know. But I think there has to be an olive branch handed out. Just in terms of the fact that you never got into the ground. The way the season went, and basically an act of good faith to stick with us going forward. So I mean, people's thoughts on this will vary wildly, I would say, but I genuinely think that they need to make a fairly significant contribution towards kind of fixing things with the support.
Alan, you're a season ticket holder yourself. What are you kind of hoping for?
I think the key thing, just to add to what Samani said, is first of all, I would prefer it if we were honest this year. So a bit of honesty, quite upfront about what the offer is, because I do expect that we're going to be asked to fork out the same price as last year. I'm fairly confident on that. I think it's then about the what-if scenarios, because last year, as Samani said, we all kind of fairly expected it would miss a lot of football. But the position that we're in at the moment is a wee bit more positive, and people are thinking ahead that, you know, we might get into a lot more games next season. But if we're sitting here in November, December, and we've not visited Celtic Park, then I would be expecting then something back. I don't think I would be putting, you know, my 600 quid down and then just saying, well, hopefully I get to one or two games this year. That's just not on. I think, first of all, a bit of honesty and a creative solution. Now, people will say, well, give us an idea. You've seen clubs all over the UK and all over Europe come up with creative solutions. Some of them are exceptional. You know, you don't need to look far down the road for Motherwell. Great offer. That's not going to happen. And we understand why that's not going to happen. But what you can do is come up with an offer to fans that allows people to accept that they're putting a wee bit of faith in with their money, but also that they're not just putting it out there blindly, that you might get something back if you don't get to visit the stadium at all next year, or, you know, it might be, you know, a longer term credits are applied. Look at the options across Europe and come up with something that works for Celtic, that works financially, and that works for the fans, because season ticket holders are, you know, really are the backbone of the club in terms of financially. So the club need season ticket holders to stump up again this year, and I'm sure they will, but you can't keep going to that every year and just, you know, offering what you did last year, because it's not good enough. So a creative solution, something that's specific to Celtic. We can't look to Motherwell and say do what they did, because it's not going to happen. We can't look to, you know, some of the clubs down south, because their model's entirely different. But that's not to say you can't come up with something that might work. And even if it is just a bit of honesty, maybe a bit of attrition in terms of the last season and the way fans were treated, along with a token gesture, that might be enough. But don't just send out the forms and say, look, we've got Eddie Howe back us, and hopefully you get into the stadium, because I don't think that's acceptable. I really don't.
Eddie, I mean, obviously you're not physically in a position to go and get a season ticket, being on the other side of the pond, as it were. But see, on the kind of apology point, like I've got this worry, and I don't know if anybody else feels the same, but Eddie, I'll come to you. I have this worry that we're going to kind of whitewash what's happened last year because the people that were involved have left. So you're going to have Peter Lowell gone, obviously, Neil Lennon gone and all that sort of thing. And is it really going to be the new CEO's position to apologise for something that he wasn't really involved in? That's the way I can kind of see it. I can see it panning out. Do you get what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And I think maybe even the kind of whitewash has kind of started in a way already about what's happening. I think... Even just going on what Chris and Alan both said, they're both, you know, if I was that particular type of season ticket holder, I would be looking for all of that, you know. I think initially when it happened, I thought to myself, you know, I'd say for Celtic TV, I pay almost maybe 300 or something like that. So half a season ticket. I thought immediately, you know, hey, they would make it half for everyone, because everyone is essentially getting the same thing that I'm getting, you know, except for $300 more. So I think that could have been something easily they could have done in the interim, but definitely more transparency as far as what's going on, because, you know, like Chris and Alan both said, you know, I do have a feeling that you're going to be expected to just kind of chuck that money in and on the blind faith. And I do think that they will try and whitewash what's going on. Like I said, I think it's happening right now. So, I really, really doubt we're going to see any type of kind of sincere apology, I guess, for what's gone on. But I think, that's probably the least of what's expected, because monetarily, where you think, you know, something should happen, that might even be, you know, further than what's going to happen, you know? So I guess it's kind of have to wait and see, but I think it's unfair to the season ticket holders that have been kind of waiting for that added value and haven't received it. And, you know, kind of, you know, you kind of expect that it would not come, I guess, for next season either. So.
Yeah. So Manny, just before you come in, sorry, I was just going to say, I think there's also a point of kind of respect for the fans that has been lost. But I mean, with all the scenes that we saw, we were basically just treated like idiots who didn't know what they were talking about. They were just Neds, you know, protesting outside the stadium and all that. I don't think we've been really treated with the respect that we deserve as fans. I would like to see that, you know, commented on and acknowledged in some sort of apology. It worries me though. Like I looked at a Celtic Twitter account just before we came on, and the banner picture on Twitter is a picture of Scott Brown from his wee photo shoot after his last game and things like that. And it just very much feels like still a club who are too busy with things that just don't really matter right now. Like, where is the progress towards next season? So, Manny, I know you wanted to come in on a point there. And I also wanted to ask you, if they came out and said, here's the plan for next season, we want you to pay the same amount of money, but we're going to put X amount into the team. This is going to be the transfer budget. We're going to go, these are our targets for next year, and gave you a really clear plan and some like numbers that you could actually kind of hold them accountable to. Would you accept that? Would you be happy with that if you knew there was a higher level of investment going into the first team?
Well, that kind of that does link in fairly nicely with the point I was going to make. So there you go. It goes back to the point.
We've been doing this for a while. To be fair,
it's total synergy. It goes back to the point that Alan had made about the season ticket holders being the financial backbone of the club. They really need to hit the sweet spot, don't they? Because if you're not honest and there's no incentive, people will vote with their feet and you'll get that hardcore 30,000 that will buy the season ticket. But 30,000 people buying a season ticket isn't going to finance what we need to do to turn that around on the pitch. So they're probably going to need to do something like that. You know, they're going to need to go, look, we're going to invest. I don't think they would come out with a figure because there'll be all sorts of issues with that in terms of, all right, Celtic have spent £8 million now, they've got X amount left. But I take your point, but if they were going to say, we will significantly invest in the team, and they did that with their eyebrows so that it looked as if they were dead serious about what they were going to do, and they were honest, I think Alan's right in using that word. If they were honest about what we're going to do, we will significantly invest in turning this around. That would probably buy a few more. But I think you probably need, I think as a support, we want them to significantly invest in the squad and accept what happened last season and acknowledge that we're not getting into the ground. So it is a bit of a hard thing for the board to do. I'll concede that to them because of the expectations we've got as a club. But they're going to need to be inventive about it. They're going to need to go away and come up with something because they can't just go down one road or the other. They have to kind of sweeten this and make sure that people are back on board. Because right now, you're right, they're not. If I see another tweet that says captain, leader, legend, I'm going to the juniors next season.
See, I think just, can I very quickly on the last, I think, see, last season, as well as on the pitch, off the pitch, to me, I'm quite happy to put it in the bin. See, the money that we put in, whenever it was, last April, that's gone, in my opinion. I don't think we've got any actual recourse for a refund there. And I know that there's some different ideas that have been floating about. But I'm more interested about when I put my money down this year, if I don't get into Celtic Park again this year, 2 years in a row, that's a really difficult thing to accept. That really would be. So I think it's about going forward. I think in terms of last season, they can absolve themselves. And, you know, Eddie talked about it as well with the whitewashing. Don McKay's new to this. But the one thing I really, really want to hear, maybe not as direct because, you know, he's not going to burn Peter Loyal like that. But the one thing I want him to say is that the way we deal with fans is going to be different. And that might be, I might be naive by thinking that I would believe that. But see, if he came in and identified early on that they don't want to see anything like last year, fans will be treated differently. They'll be treated with a wee bit more respect and a wee bit more of an understanding of the kind of what they put into the club. I think that's a really important thing. I think last year it was a disaster. Everybody's emotions were very high, understandably. But I think the way the fans were treated last year on a number of occasions was just unacceptable. So Dom McKay came in and very quickly identifying that he would like to repair that relationship would be really important for me. And that's only a small thing. And importantly, it doesn't cost anything. There's no monetary value they need to attribute to that. So, you know, if they're switched on, if they're quick, then I would imagine that would be one of the first things you would think to do.
Edit.
I think going off of what Al just said about kind of repairing the relations with the support is that's kind of what we've been asking for the entire season, you know? And just like Alan said, it doesn't cost any money, and it's such a simple thing to do that would immediately kind of change some of the feelings. It's, you know, it's not going to immediately repair things, but it will give people that, not necessarily transparency, but understanding that they are listening and they, you know, they kind of know what we are thinking right now. But I just think throughout the whole season, there were so many different instances where they could have just said one thing that would have just changed, you know, the attitude. But I think what worries me is that they didn't. And yeah. Hoping that, say, you know, Makai comes in and does that. I mean, you know, you're definitely hoping that, but, you know, there are a lot of people that are still going to be there from, you know, last season. So I guess that's the hope. It's the hope that they, you know, are really actually listening and looking to what's happening and how we're reacting online. I mean, the fact that people were putting the Lenin, you know, the symbols under every single tweet for months, you know, and they could have just made that simple change or said something, but they didn't. So it's just really hoping that that is the case this season for sure.
Yeah, I think we all want some, you know, that's what a point I was going to come to. I think we all hope that there's some recognition of at least them learning from their mistakes of last season. But Alan, I was just when you were making your point there, it, something popped into my head. See how we're all clamouring for Eddie Howe, right? We're all desperately looking for news, and we're all basically in doing that, we're all looking towards next season. Do you think that the wider support, because we're so desperate for next season to come and see progress, signings, manager and all that, that we are kind of we're not holding them to account the way that we probably should have, because passions were so high for so long. I feel as if we maybe it's subdued a little bit because, you know, Kennedy came in and we're just kind of bobbling along. Anger's kind of dissipated to the point now we're just desperate for next season to come. We should probably hold on to a bit of that anger and a bit of that frustration from what we've seen to get that apology, shouldn't we?
Sorry, on you go, Alan.
Very quickly, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's a balancing act, though. I feel like, just speaking from a personal point of view, I can't speak for anybody else, but I've got plenty left in the tank. I mean, we are still under level 3 restrictions, but as soon as we get into, you know, a position where we can perhaps get into the stadium again, you know, it's about supporting the team going forward. And there's a lot of people who will tell you that you just need to put it behind you. That's fine. I don't mind that. It's not Eddie Howe's fault when he comes in. But it'll take a lot for me to let go of the way I've been treated by the club this season. That's something that, and it might be a thing that people might think you just have to swallow and let it go, but I hope Eddie Howe comes in and he proves to be a big distraction, and you know, the lion's share of the fan base will move on from it. But I think there'll be a lot of people that resent, you know, I've kept and continually talked about the difference between the team and the club, and I will always support the team without doubt, but the club to me are not what I would like them to be, and haven't been for quite a long time. And I think a lot of people's, including Moan's, eyes have been opened this year as to exactly how we're treated. And I think it'll make a lot of people think very carefully about how they support the team and the club, and, you know, in a lot of ways are two distinct entities for me.
I would tend to say bored, but I get your point, if you know what I mean. But I mean, the club, there's a kind of a whole picture with the club, a romantic thing that I would attribute to that. But I would agree in terms of the custodians, the way they've treated us, I think, has been appalling. But what I was going to say is, I think the events of this season have kind of ebbed and flowed, and, you know, things have happened, and Lennon going, and you get a wee boost from that. Like, you got a wee boost when Law said that he was going to go at the end of the season, and then you were just waiting for things, coupled with the restrictions and all that. You know, it's like your anger's gone up and down, up and down, up and down, and then you've, you know, we've sat on previews before games when we're playing against them, and, you know, we're also kidding ourselves on sometimes that we had a chance in these games. So the events kind of naturally went like that. But I think Alan's right. See, the minute we get near that ground, you know, they'll know, they'll really know the feelings and the ire of the Celtic support. That is the one thing that they've been so lucky about this season. Now, we had the incident, obviously, when some supporters went up and they managed to kind of spin that as some sort of, you know, like riot or something like that, which it wasn't. It was a natural reaction to the situation that was going on. Wait till you see it. Can you imagine? Just think about if there was fans in the game last season. After that, the Sparta Prague or Slavia, I can't even remember what one we played, Sparta Prague. Can you imagine the Celtic way after that if we had been in the ground? And see if they don't hit the ground running next season, or if they treat us with contempt again, it'll be throngs of people on there calling for the head of the board. So I think Alan's right. I don't really like the phrase "keep your powder dry," but when the time's right, if they don't get this correct, if they don't, you know, fix what's happened this season, they'll know all about it.
Lovely. More threats are needed, Alan.
Threat. Well, wait a minute. Threats. That sounded. We will. Shout a lot. There we go.
Louis, I heard it the same as you. It was a call with hands. I heard
it was.
I caught, obviously, a wee bit of the Leicester game on the cup final on Saturday. And of all the things that kind of popped into my head of that was obviously the chairman, or I don't know, chief executive, whatever the description would be, was on the pitch after. And the context of that's obviously very, very different in terms of what Leicester have gone through. But it made me think back to a couple of times when we've had the league flag on the first day of the new season unfurled at Celtic Park, and the way that generally, even in good times, board members or chief executives are treated when they walk on the park. Given the way this season's gone, and given that there's only really one severe change at that level, and it's Don McKay, I would be surprised if you've seen a chief executive or a director or anybody walk on the pitch at Celtic Park and expect anything other than an absolute chorus of boos over a long, long period. And I think even though that Don McKay is replacing Peter Lawwell and he's fresh into the job, that distrust, I think, is something that they genuinely will need to repair, because Samani made the point really well about the difference between that core 30,000 renewing and 52,000 renewing. And that's a big, big difference. And they can't afford to have any sort of margin like that, because that would be a real, real financial issue for the club. So, you know, they are the custodians of the club. They do hold power, but they don't hold all the power. Ultimately, it's us as fans that hold power. And we're very reticent to ever apply it, but it is there. It really is there, and they need to be very aware of it.
Are you disappointed that we've not heard from him yet, Don McKay, Alan? Like, I know there's been a couple of bits with fans' forums and things, but he's not spoken directly to the Celtic support, really, has he?
I would have liked something, just even a wee signal of intent as his general overview, to be honest. But, you know, as long as in the 1st of June, 1st of July, whatever it is, there is, you know, we're very good at putting things up on the website. As long as there is something on there and it gives us an idea of what his plan is, because I don't want him just to come in and just say, right, I'll pick up from here. I'd like to know what the 3-year, 5-year plan for the club is, because it's Eddie Howe's job to win the league whenever he gets a job. I keep saying that. Whenever he gets a job, his job is to win the league next year. So that's his. But Don McKay's job is the next 3, 5, 10 years. And I want to know what the actual vision is for the club, because I'll be honest, if it's just competing with Rangers year on year for the next 5 years, that's not going to cut it for me. The ambition has to be higher than that. It really does. Because we've done that, you know, we've done all that in Scotland. It's really about looking to Europe now for me. And that's what I want to hear from him.
Eddie, we're going to move on and talk about some news items. One of them centres around Eddie Howe. But let's just talk about the fact that we still don't have a manager. I don't know how many days it is now. It must be about 7 weeks or something like that, since, probably more than that, actually, since Lennon was sacked.
It's February. It was February.
Aye.
Not a maths teacher, are you, Lou?
No, I'm not. It was ages ago, wasn't it? Pure ages ago. Eddie, how are you feeling about the fact that we've still not announced Eddie Howe or anybody else? I mean, the rumours that, you know, we're waiting until Bournemouth have finished their playoff games and all this shit. I mean, surely, why are we waiting around to hear if a couple of coaches can be bothered coming to Celtic? It seems a bit absurd, the idea that he might not take the job because they can't come.
Yeah, no, I kind of feel the same way. I said it a while ago in the chat. I think, like, even if you just make an announcement and say, you know, Hughes will be joining us after the season or whatever, you know, just something at all. But I think that kind of leads the mind to think other things, I guess. A lot of things that have been said and read and, you know, I've kind of been just sick to death of all the ITK nonsense, WhatsApp nonsense. Like I can't take another day of, well, it's 2 to 3 days. Well, it's next Wednesday. It's, you know, it's happening. You know, I just think at this point, I said this morning in the chat, I just think like, you know, I guess we get the kind of description of him as kind of, you know, doing his due diligence, seeing what the club is all about, seeing if it matches his ambition and whatnot. And I think that's kind of the worry for me anyway, personally. I think at this point, I know Alan said it before, I feel like at this point in his career, Celtic is just, it's a perfect opportunity for him. It's a perfect challenge for him. If he were to go to a team like Palace, it would purely be for money. Because yes, they do have, you know, a bigger budget than Bournemouth, but honestly, they're the same team. They're going to be around the middle. I think I looked it up this morning. Howe finished, what, maybe ninth was his best finish with Bournemouth. Palace have only finished 10th as their best in the last however many years they've been in the Premier League. So it's essentially the same thing. So if he wants, you know, that, you know, let's just get this over with. I mean, if he wants that, just beat it, you know. Yeah. But I think it's the unknown is what's getting everybody's, you know, anxiety going. So I think a lot of people, I guess I want to hear say that it's eventually going to happen, makes me feel okay. But at the same time, I'm worried that Howe is now doing that look into the structure and maybe it's not as pleasing to him or where it wants to be, where he wants it to be to take the gig. But I just think, I mean, to me, it's a perfect opportunity if he wants to just languish around in like the middle of the pack in the Premier League for a bigger paycheck, you know, just let us know so we could get this over with. It's ridiculous.
I was fairly relaxed about it. And now immediately when Eddie said there about it would be, you know, it would only be a money decision. I just imagine Eddie Howe now is your man, Leonardo DiCaprio, on the yacht and Wolf of Wall Street just throwing $100 bills over the side. That's the image I've got in my head now. I was quite relaxed before that.
It wouldn't be that outlandish, you know? That's just the way things go these days, you know? It wouldn't. But I think also what we were saying the other day is if it's not Eddie Howe, who the hell is it going to be? And we know it's not going to be anyone close to that caliber if he doesn't come in. It's going to be, oh shit, we fucked it. Here comes Roy Keane, you know, or here comes John Kennedy's going to stick around, you know, like
Eddie, going to stop it, mate.
Not trying. I'm saying like, what we're all thinking right now. Come on.
We're on the Howe helicopter here and that's it. We definitely
can't make any helicopter jokes. So don't go there, please.
What?
Alan, well, I thought you were going to say, you know, if he doesn't come, then what happens to the helicopter? It just gets safely put in the ground in the helipad.
What's the good reason?
And Roy Keane steps off of it.
Aye, that's it. That's it. Alan, come on. From a football point of view, Eddie's saying it would only be about money if he went to Palace. Can you make an argument? Can you see an argument for somebody like Eddie Howe going to a Crystal Palace?
No, I really don't. I'm very confident. I've not got any inside information.
That's what I was going to say. Are you ITK Alan?
I'm absolutely not. Absolutely not. But the thing is, he's not going to have a better option down south. And as Eddie points out, he's not going to have, say, and you know, there's not a vacancy in Everton. There's not a vacancy in a club that could go upwardly mobile, and that's not a disrespect Crystal Palace, etc. Although so be it. It's just he can come here and do here in 3 years what it would maybe take 5, 6, 7, even longer down south. You look at, you know, guys like David Moyes, who were widely seen to have done an exceptional job in England. It took him how long he was there, and you know, he got his one big shot and it didn't work out. I think he is looking, saying he'll come up here, add some more trophies to his kind of CV, make an impact in Europe, because one thing he'll be looking at as an ambitious manager, he'll be looking at what he can do. He can't just come up and win domestically, because that's already been done. Brendan Rodgers has done that. what he'll want to come up here is do is win domestically, but also make inroads in Europe, because then he can go down south and say, well, Brendan Rodgers followed this path. Look where he is now. I did the same job as him and the same, relatively the same budget as him, and I went one better in terms of Europe. If he does that, then he opens up proper top six opportunities in England, but he's nowhere near that just now. And that's why for him, I know people might not want to hear it because we just want to imagine him here, but he might spend 3 years here and then he can go down south with a much better, you know, prospectus to show English clubs, and they'll be open to it because there's a clear pathway. It's the same way it works with players. It took us a long time to build up to selling Kieran Tierney for 25 million, but we eventually got there by rungs up the ladder, and Brendan Rodgers, his success down south will open up that avenue now that if a manager does come up here and do incredible things, English clubs will look and say, well, do you know what? It's worth a punt. And the fact that he's English already and he's done a great job down there with Bournemouth, it's an absolute no-brainer for Eddie Howe. I really don't think he's got a better option at the table.
There's parallels between him and Rodgers in terms of their reputations. Now, I wouldn't argue that Howe was close to where Rodgers was at his peak, you know, a Steven Gerrard slip away from winning the league title with Liverpool. Howe was never at that level, but his name was being touted for the England job. You know, he was very well thought of in terms of what he'd done at Bournemouth and where people seen him going. Now, that obviously took a dunt with the relegation with Bournemouth, but
it was his style of football as well, though, wasn't it? That's the thing that caught the imagination. He played in that league with limited resources in terms of some of the big boys, and played a really attractive style of football.
Yeah, that's right, and I think that reputation to play football the correct way. Obviously, that Celtic fans are a sucker for that, but I think more broadly, football fans are a sucker for that as well. But I think this is a chance not only to revitalise his reputation, but to also become a better manager, more expansive in terms of maybe being pragmatic, something that we accuse Rodgers of not doing. Maybe learning to adapt, and certainly going to have to do it in Europe. If he comes up and he just plays openly with us the way Rodgers did, we'll get embarrassed. So this is a good opportunity for him to play a nice style of football in what 90% of the games that he's going to play, but then perhaps learn how to adapt and be, you know, as I say, more pragmatic in some of the games where he has to be. And then he'll be in a position, perhaps 2 or 3 years, however long it is, to take that back down to England. I do think the Celtic package for him is a very appealing one because of what it could bring him for his career further down the line.
See, on the throughout the pod, all the podcasts for months, obviously, and the 11.8571 weeks since Neil Lennon left the club. You know, we've constantly talked about we need to know something next week. We need to know something next week. You know, we're going to be worried if something doesn't happen by this time, this date. The season's now over. I think we all expected probably that we were hanging off until they'd got their trophy, then we would come out, try and dominate the headlines. But hey, the headlines have been Rangers are an absolute disgrace, so why would we want to get involved in those headlines? Those headlines are delicious in many ways, so just let them be. But I have a bit of a worry that if he's still waiting on his coaches to come up, you know, if that's the reason, and we don't know if that is the reason, but what's everybody's kind of worry levels about where we are in preparation for next season? Because a number of times we said it's got to be started by this date, this date, this date. We're now in effectively the close season. I know you've got the romance of the Scottish Cup fish and all that, but we're in it now. We need to be doing something, Manny.
Well, first things first, I was going to say about the coaches not coming, you know, I think that'll be purely financial. There'll be a clause or something where if they don't get promoted, they'll be 10 bob cheaper, and we're waiting on that. So that's, you know, we're always very sensible with our money at the club, shall we say. I'm past that now, what you're talking about. It's almost just like, I mean, see the Champions League qualifiers, we were talking back in February, get somebody in right away, we can finish this season strongly, and then we can prepare for the Champions League qualifiers. That's not going to happen. The turnaround's too short now. So I'm just saying, get the right man in. Get as long as it's Howe, you know, we give him a transfer budget where they can get players in and then work with them, just do that. Because see, in terms of long-term sensible planning or medium-term sensible planning, that window's gone. We're going to, it's going to be a race. It's going to be an absolute shambles, possibly, of a window because of how long we've taken to appoint them. But now you're just thinking, just get them in. Just, you've got to hope they've identified players in the background and some of that business happens quickly. But I will say, despite what Alan said about Europe and how I totally agree with that, see, next season, we can't care about the Europe because we've got no time to prepare for the Champions League whatsoever. We just need to turn up, you know, take that in the chin. It's a great phrase that we love Celtic managers saying. And then just make sure that we're as prepared as we can be for the start of the league because, quite frankly, we've no other choice now.
Alan, you worried?
I think Samani's, to be honest, absolutely spot on. I really think it's about domestic next season because of the potential that has for European qualification longer term. I really think the chances is even getting past the second round of the qualifiers next year is very optimistic because you look at what we're going to be facing likely in the our first round, that's quite scary. I think the window will be exciting. I think from a fan point of view, we are going to love this transfer window because there's going to be a lot of players coming in. Because you know what it's like when we sign players, we don't care what they're like, but you're always excited by players. Everybody's always excited by new players, and this year more than ever. So I'm worried about it, but I do think that they'll be looking at it in the background. And I think there's going to be a lot of guys coming in quickly that maybe aren't your marquee signings because we're going to need about 12, 13 players. They're not going to be 12, 13 players from the continent, you know, all guys that are top performers in the league. You're going to get, you know, 5, 6, 7, you know, the word I would use is jobbers, maybe coming in, guys that can jobbers. Do jobbers, not jobbies.
Channels.
that was last summer for the jobbies. I think that's what you'll get this year. And I think you'll get guys quickly. Then it's about who are the 3-4 players that you build a team around long term. But absolutely, the time for planning. But as Samani says, we're kind of flogging a dead horse there because that's long gone. I mean, preparation for the next window is, that's just started in January at the absolute latest. So, you know, I think we can file that one away.
Yeah, I mean, although you're saying that, you know, we'll be lucky, you know, you don't think we'll get past the second round of qualifying, I just wanted to be clear, we will all have a fucking meltdown of all meltdowns if we get papped out in the second round. Whether we think that's likely to happen now or not, it's definitely going to be the reaction.
I think the meltdown will come if Eddie Howe says in the post-match press conference, well, you know, I'm a big boy, I'll get up and wash my face in the morning. That's when I'll have a fucking meltdown.
He's shite. Anyway, I'm going to move on. Eddie, going to come to you to talk about another Eddie. Odson Edward today has been linked to being, I think, kind of close to a deal to Leicester to join up with Big Rattus himself. 15, 20 million, round about that is what's been talked about. Would you be happy with 20 million for Eddie and take the money and move on?
I mean, it's crazy that we're even mentioning, I guess, that number at this point. It's come to this. I mean, absolutely, you want as much money as possible. So, I mean, at least 20 million for myself. Not sure how everyone else feels, but I just think, like, you know, I guess it's said in the chat as well, just to kind of, just as much money as we can, as quickly as we can, to kind of get that influx of cash in just to get started. Because the longer this draws on and teams get involved and, you know, who knows where the fee is going to go. But I'd say for a good couple of months, it's been around that like 15 to 20 range. So I'm definitely expecting something like that. And we're not going to get any favors from the Rat. So I think, you know, you would be happy with it because that's probably all we're going to get, but not happy with it because a year, 2 years ago, you think that he was going to be, you know, it was going to be in the high 30s, you know, even before the season started, you know, you wanted to keep him, but at the same time you thought, you know, if somebody comes in with, well, I think people were saying, you know, around the $40 million mark, you know, like that was kind of a realistic thing to think, I think at that point. But now, realistically, yeah, it's dropped that low, which I do think is a little bit of, there's still that disrespect to Scottish football. And I think with the Tierney deal, that kind of showed that we can kind of play a little bit more hardball, which I think we should, instead of people coming in with the low ball offers. But I think at this point, we're not necessarily in the best position to do that. So I think as quickly as possible, as much money as possible.
Yep, I agree. I don't think I've ever been so excited for players going out the door as I am players coming in. And I don't mean just Odds and Edward. Like, I wish him the best, and it's been great watching him play for Celtic. But I'm at that point now where I just want, we know that he wants to, pretty much we know he wants to leave. We know he's going to leave. I don't want this long, protracted, drawn out shite that's going to dominate the headlines all summer. Let's get it done quick. All right, we're going to take a bit of a hit on what we thought we were going to get back. But, you know, we paid nine. If we get 20, it's still a profit. We move on. So, Manny, you were going to come in?
I mean, it's kind of just came into my head. Do you think if it's how any of the players that we've consistently assumed were going to leave would want to stay and work with them? Even for a year. Even say how came into Edward and said, you can go at the end of this season, sign a 2-year contract or something. Same with Ayer, same with Christie. Oh, please not Christie. But you know what I mean? We've talked these guys out the door on the assumption of what's happened this season. How's a coach, does Howe have the luster to keep some of these guys here for an extra year? I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, to be honest.
The thing is, with our contract, so we kind of need to take money now, don't we? I mean, unless they were willing to sign a new deal, which I don't think is going to happen. Not the kind of big two in Ayer and Eddie, but I think maybe fringe players. I mean, see the likes of, and, you know, I don't know how it would be managed, but see somebody like Ballingolly coming back after his loan and everything that happened. Would Eddie Howe try and keep him or try and work with him?
But then how, a football player, aye?
Well, aye. I mean, We're gonna have to find some players in amongst the ones that we've actually got contracts with, because as Alan says earlier, 13 players, it's just got to be all jobbers.
Jobbers.
Do you know who would be a great manager to come in for that kind of clear out that some money wants and tell everybody to grab your boots and get to fuck? Roy Keane, there's your man. Get him in for a 1-day contract, a 1-day contract to do the clear out, and then, you know, bring the actual manager in, you know, the non-joke football manager the next day.
That'd be sensational.
Here's my hot take. Edward will be at Celtic next season.
Oh, fucking, what a clown. What a hot take. The hottest of hot takes. But we have been linked with a couple of players, Scottish players, Kevin Nisbet and Aaron Hickey have both been mentioned recently. John Kennedy had some quotes. I've got some quotes from him on Kevin Nisbet. He said, it's a bit disrespectful to talk about another team's players. I don't know what the new manager will want, but certainly in terms of the team, in terms of the players being from our league, it's always the first place you start to see what's available. Everyone in this league will be covered. We will know who could potentially be capable of coming to Celtic and who's not. Kevin Nisbet has had a good season. Jack Ross has done a terrific job with him as well. We will respect that, but again, it will be a new manager's decision. It's also kind of question marks over Lee Griffiths' future, because the club have yet to decide whether to take up the year's option on his contract. And Kennedy said that Lee will speak to the club on that. There's not an actual definitive date on it yet. It's not this weekend that will be addressed when the new manager comes in. So, Kevin Nisbet, I mean, I suppose let's kind of open it up a wee bit as well to any kind of Scottish-based players. I know Aaron Hickey obviously is at Bologna and moved there in a permanent deal for $1.5 million. But is there any Scottish or Scottish-based players that anybody, it really springs to mind that you think we could seriously consider kind of in a David Turnbull style?
I'd take Nisbet. It's just the money that they might be asking for him. I think Nisbet's the sort of steady player you need in your squad. You know,
a jobber.
You need jobbers, and I think I said it in the reaction. You need players who are going to be at Celtic for the next 4-5 years, and not necessarily stick-on starters, but guys that can come in and do a job, and you're not consistently worried about them moving on to a higher league, because you can't have an entire squad full of players like Edward and Ayer and and whoever who you're constantly wondering, is this the season that they're going to want to step up? You need guys that can perform at a steady level in Europe, perform well in the SPFL, and just, you know they'll be here as long as you need them to be here. Nisbet, for me, would be one of those players. But £4 million, it's a lot of money. So I'll shut up now.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I think I would take Nisbet as well. I was thinking we could just give them Lee Griffiths, a little swap deal, maybe some cash for that. I think that would be, you know, best served for both parties. I can't say I've actually heard of anything like that, but I don't know. I think I would definitely swap Lee Griffiths in a minute for that. I think as far as Aaron Hickey goes, like, he's just too young. I think he's too young for the amount of money that we'd be paying for him. And I don't think that he's really that great, to be honest. I think he's only started maybe like 11 games or something like that for Bologna. And I looked at maybe in the last like 4 or 5, I don't think he even made the bench. So I'm not sure if he's injured. I can't say that I, you know, have kind of followed, you know, what's going on there. But I think, you know, as a player that could, you know, work within our squad because we need those numbers. Yeah. I mean, definitely. But I think I was reading like maybe 5 million for him. I feel like we can get better for that money than Aaron Hickey.
Right. Ryan Gould's another one, Alan, that I've seen linked. People talking about obviously playing over in Portugal, and it looks like he's not going to be included. Despite having a good season, he's not going to be included in the Scotland squad for the Euros. What about him? Is there any other kind of Scottish-based players that have caught your eye?
I think the guys that, you know, you've obviously covered, and I agree with largely what the boys have said. You've got Alan Campbell, Josh Doig, Lewis Ferguson, and obviously Ryan Gold, who's, you know, you can maybe nab on a free. These are guys that could come in and do a job. I don't think there's any question of that. The key is the contract situation with them. Like, Samani talked about, you know, Kevin Nisbet, 4 million. Forget that's Hibs. We'll, you know, throw that complexity out the window. But also, Scottish teams have cottoned on now that if you want to buy their best players, then it will cost. So you probably do need to look at the guys that are maybe a year left in their deal or are available in a free. None of these guys, though, have the potential, I don't really see, to be, you know, the guys that draw fans into the stadium. I just don't see it. There's not a talent out there that makes me think, you know, there's somebody that's going to lead the line. Kevin Nisbet's not going to lead the line. Alan Campbell or Lewis Ferguson or any of these guys would never be your star 6 or your star 8. So I think you might get a couple of them in potentially, but they won't be big additions, and they're not going to be the kind of guys that Eddie Howe will be building around. If Eddie Howe's coming up here, he will be wanting a squad that can compete immediately for the title next year, and I don't think any of those names really fit that bill in terms of the starting 11. The standard has to be higher, and this is going to really sound critical, but David Turnbull's done a really good job this year. He's been an exciting player, but it's a bit of a damning indictment for me that he's our player of the year. It really, really is, because to be a starting number 10 for Celtic, you need to be, I don't think you need to be an up-and-coming player. I think you need to be a player that's at their absolute best. And that's what we need next year. We need guys that can come in and compete quickly and can adjust quickly and don't have the kind of concerns over physical demands or are learning their way. There's room for those players, absolutely, but maybe only one or two or three at a time. We really need a lot of players next year who can come in quickly and hit the ground running. And I do think for that reason that when Eddie Howe is announced, I think he's much more likely to be looking down south than he is to be looking in Scotland. I think you may get one or two from here, but I don't think he's going to be building himself around players in Scotland that don't already play for Celtic. I really don't. I just don't see it. I don't think the talent's there.
Eddie?
Yeah, I think I was going to mention what Alan just said about kind of, that's the good thing about when Hal gets announced. He has... you know, the connections down south to maybe have those players that both fit the impactful now, but also the, you know, the jobbers, if you would, but a higher caliber of jobber than, say, who was just mentioned, I guess. But I completely agree with what Sir Manny said about, you know, needing, you know, you can't expect to go into next season having to sign, you know, 8-10 players and have them all be first team quality, you know, Europe ready. You're definitely going to have some of those, you know, workhorse type players. But I think that is what is exciting about Howe. And I think that's what's also frustrating about how long it's taking, because you are hoping, I mean, I guess we've heard, you know, in rumors that they have play, you know, they're already looking at players and stuff like that. But I think that is what's important, is to get that kind of that ball rolling. And I think that with his connections at Bournemouth and you know, anywhere within the championship and stuff like that, we might see some kind of hidden gems. I know, was it Josh King was mentioned. I don't know how realistic that is, but, you know, that's a player I would absolutely take on, you know? So yeah, I think that's the exciting thing about Howe, is that he'll kind of hit the best of both worlds type thing. So we'll get the workhorses, but we'll also probably get some, you know, some really decent talent that can make an impact immediately.
Yeah, I would imagine that the rumour mill's not going to really kick into gear until Eddie Howe's announced, and I'm sure we'll see a myriad of players linked with us over the course of this season. But I do agree with what Alan said earlier. I think it's going to be a very exciting window. I'm looking forward to it for both sides of it. We're going to touch on the last two games of the season, because obviously they happened last week. And the kind of final standings of the campaign. Very quickly, first, David Turnbull won multiple awards. He won Young Player of the Year for the PFA, and he also won it for Celtic's own end-of-season awards. He also won Player of the Year for Celtic, David Turnbull, who, of course, wasn't in the team the whole season, but came in when it was already fucked, basically. But, fair play to David Turnbull again. I think he's actually had a wee bit of kind of, I don't know, I kind of feels like he's had a bit of unfair criticism. Like, people were really high on him at first, and then I kind of dipped a bit. And I know his performances maybe didn't stay at that initial high level, but there was also probably a bit of it that he just came into such a, you know, such a poor side and look good and give us a ray of hope. But we were maybe getting a wee bit more critical as time went on, and that's just to be expected as a Celtic player, I guess. But he's definitely one to he's going to be an integral part of things next year, so it'll be good for his confidence to get those awards. Goal of the season for Celtic went to Ismaila Sorrow against Dundee United. Top goal scorer was Edward, and Players Player of the Year was Christopher Ayer. We're not really going to get on the table and say whether they deserve it, because they fucking got it, so what's the point? Let's get to the last two games of the season. 4-0 against St Johnson in the midweek game. That was obviously our last home game, Scott Brown's last home game. We saw a beautiful Edward goal, just a typical Odson Edward goal, which was a nice way for him to kind of sign out at Celtic Park, if that is indeed his last game. And then we had the game against Hibs. And we had the 0-0 to round things off on Saturday there, away to Hibs, a place where we haven't won at Easter Road since 2014. We had Barkas in goals for both games, in the league, sorry, since 2014. Well, if you'd put that in the fucking rundown, or you did, bastard, I've just noticed it. Anyway, moving swiftly on. Alan, Barkas, if you could sell him and recoup most of the money that you paid for him, would you be wanting to get your own goalkeeper in, or do you think he's one that deserves a chance to stake a claim?
It probably deserves a chance to stake a claim, but I'd absolutely take my money back. That is a refund that I would gladly and happily accept. And it's nothing against him personally, because he's just, I think a lot of people understand that he maybe didn't get, a lot of people said he didn't settle in, he wasn't treated fairly. He didn't really make a lot of saves, with the greatest respect him. A lot of things seemed to go through him. And for me, is, you know, you want to be a goalkeeper, then best way to steer a team is to make saves. And he didn't make saves. Maybe it'll take longer to adjust. You know, fair play. I think it's highly likely that, you know, if you don't get 3-4 million, then he will be there next year. But if he did go and we get some money back from then, I would take that in a heartbeat, to be honest, because he didn't look incredible.
There was a case of the aisles about him, wasn't there? It was his natural reaction was just to get the fuck out of the way of the ball, really, which is not what you need with a goalkeeper. I'm going to come to you, Sir Manny, for my next one. Scott Brown. Come on, tell us. You got a wee bit emotional when you seen him interviewed after his game at the weekend.
No.
visual disappointment doesn't help.
Well, listen, see Scott Brown leaving, it's filed under quadruple treble for me. I'll look back fondly on Scott Brown. He's been a wonderful servant to the club. And we will look back on the achievement of winning four trebles in a row more fondly when time's passed just now. For me, it's done. I'm glad you're moving to Aberdeen now. Thanks for all everything, but I just kind of wanted them to go. And that's, I feel bad saying that. That's not me being Scott Brown, your shite getty. That's not what I mean by that. I just mean, you just want to move on from this. You just want a clean break. You just want to get a clean slate and just get, you know, the new era to start. And Brown epitomises the old era, which was, for the largest part of it, phenomenal. But we need to make a break from that. And Brown moving on for me, it's just a good thing. So I wasn't too emotional, but that's probably my mindset in terms of what's happened this season. But absolutely, you know, you'll look back in time when things, you know, things are less raw, and you know, you'll love watching some of the games. But I mean, he was living in their head for years in some of the games he played. But right now, just move on, Scott, and I'll get emotional later.
I did genuinely feel quite sad. See, I watched that interview yesterday after the Hibs game, and see at the end where he says, "I'll miss you." I looked at the camera. I was like, "He's talking to me." I was fucking.
Oh no, he wasn't.
Man.
He wasn't talking to you.
He was
Mr. Any Means Necessary.
No, but Scott understands that.
You've got absolute. You are shameless. Actually, you are shameless,
Louis. I can confirm he wasn't talking to you.
That's disgusting. He was. It was, listen, he understands by any mean necessary. It was just another one of my hits. I had to run with it, you know, at times I went back on it. But yeah, no, Scott Brown, I think it feels very surreal, Eddie. I don't know about you, but it does feel a bit surreal to think we're not going to see Scott Brown anymore. Like, he's not going to be part of the club anymore. I mean, 14 years is a long time to play for a football club.
Well, absolutely. I think that's what I thought immediately after game. It was kind of a difficult, I did catch myself kind of getting a little, you know, a little emotional, I guess. But I think, like Sirmani said, like if this season had gone any differently, it would have been just tributes, you know, that it would, everything would have hit. Everyone would have, you know, been pouring out with even more tributes than there are now. So many more silver plates would have been given to him. Like, you know, just, everything would have just been more upbeat, I guess. But now I think a lot of it is just like Chris said, like, you know, you just want to get it done. And especially for footballing reasons, like it was really sad to see him in some of these games, just literally just getting bullied. Especially I'd say in the St. Johnstone game, just literally getting bullied off the ball. And at times against Rangers during the year, just literally getting bullied off the ball. So I think, you know, if things went different this season, it would have been easier to kind of, I guess, join in the loving. But yeah, until then, it's kind of just, it is what it is, really.
Alan, you know, obviously it brings an end to John Kennedy's time as caretaker manager. Some people get a payout. I think Ian got a good bit of money as well, which is a nice way to end the season. What do you think, how do you reflect on John Kennedy's time taking over? I mean, we were all calling, just give it to John Kennedy for the rest of the season. You know, what would be your kind of summation of his time taking over, and what do you think his role will be going forward?
Well, first of all, I'm pretty sure Ian Dugan, I'm sure I read that he said he was donating the profits from that to the Celtic Foundation. So, and he said he was going to tweet it out. So that's a really nice touch from Ian Dugan. And I look forward to seeing that tweet when he sends
it. He was tweeting it out for a bit of clout. Lovely.
That was really nice of him. I think John Kennedy's reign, with the greatest respect to him, I think will be very forgettable. I don't think he hasn't made the mark that he would have probably wanted to. I think it's maybe an indictment of the squad that's there, that he kind of didn't really change it up. But he didn't have an impact. You know, first five games, he managed to tighten things up at the back. But then when we tried to improve going forward, we went back the same way. And I think it took over at a tough time. But as a manager, you've got to improve. You've got to do what's, you know, better than what was done before. And the wheels come off it a wee bit, to be honest. And again, at any point this season when we faced adversity, we've floundered and that didn't change. So my instinct would be that John Kennedy won't be there going forward, because I think once you become a manager, you know, you want to be a manager, and I think he'll go elsewhere and I think he'll get a fair crack at the whip, and he might be back in the future, but he hasn't made the impact that we would have hoped. If you would have given it to him in October or November, then could have been a lot different. But again, we're discussing hypotheticals because the board, well, weren't willing to make a brave decision in November. So, you know, it'll always be what if, but I don't think he'll be entirely delighted with the job that he's done, because it's probably not made the impact. I think the Scottish Cup particularly would have been the one that I think he would have hoped to do better in. So it's not great, and I think we all probably wanted it to go a bit better, but it's just been a bit more of the same, to be honest.
I know what you're crying out for here. You want some advanced stats, so let me give you some. In the 10 games that John Kennedy was the manager of, he won 4, drew 4, and lost 2. The 2 games obviously being against them.
4?
Yeah.
4? 2?
Which means Eddie Howe is confirmed.
Wow. No, it means that Edward is staying. He's confirmed. Yeah, so Manny, thoughts on Kennedy? I mean, obviously there's a lot of speculation about whether he will still be part of things. Would you like him to be part of things, or is he another one that just you want out?
Part of the old guard for me. Time for him to go. I don't think you should judge his ability as a manager on the basis of those 10 games. I think you would have had to have had a longer, you know, shot at it before you could properly judge him. I think asking him to do anything in that time frame was, you know, it was a bit fanciful. Some people will argue that we were a bit better under Lennon. Seeing a 10-game sample, if you win 4, draw 4 and lose 2, you're not good enough to be the Celtic manager. So, frankly, he needs to go elsewhere, learn his trade, become a manager in his own right. And we need to kind of, you know, we need to cut the shackles. Away you go, John. Again, part of a successful era, so we can't really just, you know, completely dismiss his contribution to the club. I don't know what Alan found so funny there, but we can't dismiss the contribution he's made to the club. But the idea that he just sticks around, it's kind of like you move into kind of Downing Street and there's a cat that lives there, except you get a Celtic manager's job and it's fucking John Kennedy. No, I don't think that's the way it should be going forward.
Thanks for everything, John, but get to fuck. Right, well, I mean, I don't think we really want to dwell on the last couple of games. It was emotional for the reasons of Scott Brown, you know, finishing up his Celtic career, and good luck to him. The final table, with that draw and Rangers win on Saturday, means that we were 25 points behind, 25 points off it. And the 10 in a row season, the biggest season of our lives, we blew it in spectacular fashion. It is a difficult one, as we spoke about earlier. We kind of have to find a balance between staying in the moment and staying in the anger until we get some sort of apology and recognition and things like that. But it's also obviously about looking to the future, and hopefully the next time we're on the weekly, we will have something to talk about with regards to the manager and players and things like that. We hope for the best, I suppose. But I think that's us for this week. Chris Somani, it's been a pleasure.
Listen, it's been a great season, Lottie, for the Celtic Weekly. But footballing-wise, it's been shit. But, you know, we always bring it. Wonderful guests, two of the greatest, which are on with us tonight. So, Thanks for all your hosting skills this season, Lee.
That's very nice of you. You're sounding like the season's over, when obviously we know we've got the Scottish Cup coming up. Thanks for your comments. You've been wonderful, as always.
That was sarcastic, but we'll do a Scottish Cup special next week after this.
Of course. Alan, listen, jobbers, top jobbers. That could be, that's one of your first catchphrases, I think. So congratulations.
Thanks very much. And your presence, that's, you inspired me. Thanks a lot, mate. No, thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it. Now the league's done, we can actually start having a bit of fun again. So thanks. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, there is definitely a bit of relief now that it's just done and it's over with. Eddie, the good times are coming, my man.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. I'm happy to be back on, and definitely one of my highlights is kind of becoming a recurring guest on the weekly, the People's Pod. So happy to be here again, and happy to be on with my good pal Alan here. So yeah, good times coming.
Yep, and you'll definitely be on the weekly regular, Alan as well. The Cynic Weekly has had a bit of a rough ride, as most of the podcasts have this year, but it's always been a pleasure. And we will obviously be back next week to talk about the wonderful, romantic Scottish Cup final. This has been the Cynic Weekly. I've been Louis McCaffrey, and we'll speak to you down the road.